Now, we're going to start Parakira Mirtz Hashem on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis with a little bit of an introduction. As far as the Torah is concerned, you're allowed to put a pot on an open fire on Erev Shabbos, and it'll cook on Shabbos itself. However, the Chachamim instituted a gzera, and they were afraid that maybe in your urgent rush to speed up the process of cooking, you might come to stoke the flames, the coals, which is called chitui b'gecholim, and then you would violate the iser of meleches mavir. So they made a gzera that you're not allowed to leave a pot of food on an open fire on Shabbos, meaning you cannot. Again, we'll have all sorts of exceptions as we go through this perek, if it's already cooked and so forth, if it's raw maybe. But if, let's say, the cooking process has begun on Erev Shabbos. Now, normally, we've pointed out many times that according to Beis Hillel, against Beit Shammah, you're allowed to start a malach on Erev Shabbos and continue it. But whenever there's a gzera of chitui b'gecholim in things like cooking and baking and roasting, in those kind of situations, even Beis Hillel prohibit setting up this process on Erev Shabbos. Now, if you violate that process, that's called an Isur Shehiya. And Shehiya means that you left the pot of food on the stove, on the oven, on Erev Shabbos, and it hasn't been cooked yet. Now, if a food is completely cooked, that's called nisbashel kol tzarko, and it was taken off the fire, then as far as the Torah law is concerned, you could put it back on the fire. And that's based on a principle called ein bishul achar bishul. And it's going to be a gigantic machlokas rishonim, whether that applies only in the case of yavesh, or even in a case of lach. But be that as it may, even in a case where it was nispashal called tzarko, and you took it off the fire, you're not allowed to put it back on the fire. And that's again another example of a gzeras chachomim. But here we're not talking about an isur shehiya, but rather than an isur chazorah. So let's emphasize, the difference between the two is that whereas isur shehiya applies on Erev Shabbos, the Isur Chazor applies on Shabbos itself. And the Mishnayos and the Sugyos of the Gemara that we're about to study are going to deal with different types of ovens. And mostly two types of ovens, but there's a third type of oven. One type of oven is a smaller oven, it's called a Kira. The other is a larger, more major type of oven, that's called a Tanur. And the third is somewhat in the middle between the two, and that's called a kupach. So I don't know if you have this in your Gemara, but in my Gemara they have diagrams of these three types of ovens. And we can say about a kira, and there's a little bit of a picture. A kira is a kind of a stovetop. Okay, a stovetop, if it's a kira, then it has enough room for one kedera. Just one second, let me just make sure I have the right picture here. So that he calls a kira is min tanur ha'osui lebishul v'tzuroso ke'en kedera. My mistake. What he's saying is that the kira has a stovetop which has room for two kederos. So in my particular page, you have three diagrams going from right to left. So the one all the way on the right, which has two pots on it, that's called a kira. And then we have something called a kupach. A kupach is sort of a half a kira, so to speak. It's a kira, but it's a smaller kira. It only has room for one pot. And then you have a tanur. Tanur is pretty much different, because a tanur has an opening on the bottom in which the not only are the coals going in the bottom, but also the food goes inside the tanur. So it's not like the stovetop. It's really an oven in that sense. And the Gemara is going to clarify the difference between these three types of ovens as far as the halacha of the Isur Shehiyah is concerned, and the Isur Chazara. And finally, the last piece of introduction that we have is that we're about to embark upon a machlokas between Chananya and the Rabbanan about Shehiyah, and that is, one of you is that Shehiyah, the Isur Shehiyah, only applies in a tavshil, some sort of food stuff that's been cooking, and it was not edible when we entered into Shabbos. No way, no how. And that would mean it's less than what's called Michael Benjosoy. That's going to be one view. And we'll see Chananya versus Chachamim. If it already reached the state of Michael Benjosoy, that it could be eaten if necessary, it's barely, but nevertheless edible, then we don't have to worry about Chitui Gecholim, and therefore he's allowed to leave it on an open fire. And the other opinion is no. Even in a case where it's already arrived at the stage of Kemaychel Ben Josai, nevertheless, we're afraid that he might still poke it, because Michael Ben Josai is not something that you and I would eat under normal circumstance. So we do want to speed up the process of Bishul, and we might be tempted to forget about Shabbos and inadvertently poke the coals. So without further ado, let's start the first Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah speaks about a kira, as we said before. The kira is like an oven. It actually has the shape of a round shape of a kedera, like a pot. But anyway, it's got on top, the heat comes up, and it has room on top for two different pots. And it doesn't have the exact same level of heat as the tanur is concerned. Because when it comes to the tanur, since everything is enclosed and there's no airspace, and you put the food inside the oven, is a very, very intense heat. Okay. Now the Mishnah is going to distinguish between the fuel. What exactly is keeping the fire going? And we have now a distinction between kash and gvava. Kash is straw, and gvava is called stubble in English. He says in the Hebrew, she'eris ha-kash ha-nishar besoda v'nilkat bifnei atzmo. So you've cleared out pretty much all the straw from the ground, from the field, and that harvest has ended. But there are certain parts of the kernel which are called znavos. Znavos means they're leftovers. Actually, I shouldn't say znavos, because the kash itself is really the... Right, so there are three parts to the kernel, right? The kernel that carries the wheat. You have the kernel of the wheat itself, and then you have what's called znavos hashibolim, which are the... the chaff that covers the kernel. And those two together are cut down at the time of the harvest. And then later on you're going to separate them. So you're going to separate the kernel itself, which is called the shibolet, and the kash, which is what we call straw. Now, there's something that's left over in the field, and it's collected on its own, and that's called she'eris hakash, otherwise known as gvava. And these are various substances that were used to keep the fire going. So we have now a kira, and it's being heated by either kash or gvava. Okay, now what's the deal? So the Mishnah says, nosnin alea tavshil, on Erev Shabbos you're allowed to put a pot of food on top of this kira, even if he's going to leave it there over the course of Shabbos. And we're not afraid of chitui gecholim. And the reason for that is because these two substances, which are both forms of straw, or something that's even, you know, less significant than straw, which is called gvava. Again, we called it she'eris hakash, fine. Will not make charcoals. You know, when you burn them, they don't form charcoals. They're not gachelis. And the reason why shehiya is prohibited is because of shemi yechata begecholim. In the case where there's no gecholim, you have just this very flammable stuff that goes up in smoke, then we're not worried about chita gecholim because there's no gecholim. However, now we're going to go on to the problematic case where you use something for fuel that would be a problem of shemi yechata because it creates gecholim. So we have something called gefes, which we'll get to in a minute. Of course, the simpler case is be'etzim. It means that you heat up your oven, your stove oven, with a bunch of logs, for that matter, of wood. Now, what happens is the logs, after they're heated up by the fire, become charcoal. And these coals now lend themselves to chitui b'gecholim. He wants to increase the heat and speed up the process of bishul. He might come to poke these coals. Now, what's the case of gefes? So Rashi tells us that gefes is psoles shel zesim o shumshimin shahotzi shomnam. So they used to extract oil from olives and from sesame. And the psoles, after they successfully extracted the oil from these substances, that psoles, that leftover stuff, is called gefes. And gefes is real charcoal. In other words, it becomes gecholim. He says the following, that The big chiddush here in our Mishnah is the case of shumshimin, of gefes of shumshimin. Even that is prohibited in shehiya if he used it for fuel. And kol shekein, how much more so psoles shel zesim, because the psoles of zesim increases an even more intense level of heat. And this is something that we'll figure out, not in this perek, but much later on in Masechta Shabbos, in a later parak. Okay, fine. So now we have a kira that was heated up by these different types of gefes and etzim. I have here an English translation for gefes. He calls it mark, M-A-R-C. And he says in the bottom, it's the pulp that remains after you press the olives or sesame. So pulp, P-U-L-P. So I'm not familiar with the word mark. I know it as a first name. But apparently mark is something called pulp. So after you extracted the oil, the residue or the pulp can be used for fuel. And when the oven is heated with pulp or with wood, then what remains after the fire is something that could radiate enough heat and cook the food. And we're only going to allow this in one of two ways. Number one is achi yigrof, or number two is achi yitain es ha'efer. Unless he shovels away the coals, or he covers whatever coals are left with ashes. And this is going to be similar to our blech, right? Because that's going to remind him that he's not going to do chitui because his food is not being cooked directly over the coals. Okay, fine. Now he says that covering the coals with ashes means that you have to spread the ash over all the coals. And instead of heating up the coals, you are now involved in a process of cooling off the coals. In a case of shoveling, we're going to have machlokas. What that means is you have to remove all the coals from the kira, or most of the coals from the kira. And basically what we're saying is that by doing so, we're going to avoid chitui. There will be no chashash of chitui. Now here we want to mention Rashi. Rashi explains that our Mishnah prohibits a situation where the heat is getting more and more intense and the cooking will continue. And therefore Rashi says that once you, let's say, sweep out the coals, you've now in effect cooled off the oven, or it's in the process of cooling off, and it's not going to heat the food and cook it. Now, in a footnote here, he points out that the Rishonim are not happy with this Rashi, because they think that even after you shovel the coals, or cover them with ashes, the Kira still retains enough heat inside of it to cook the food. And furthermore, he says that the Gemara later on, and this was already apparently indicated in the Gemara at the end of Bamei Madlikin, does not allow placing a pot of food on a kira, but rather you have something called hatmana, which is the subject of the next perek, and that's called wrapping a heated pot in insulating material. And concerning atmana, we're going to differentiate between materials that only maintain the heat as opposed to materials that intensify the heat. And we're going to forbid atmana in a case where by insulating the pot it will increase the heat. However, with regard to a kira, and you're putting food on top of the kira, here we're not concerned with whether the kira is hot enough to cook the food, but simply as to whether it contains coals that a person might stoke. So it is permitted, therefore, to leave food on a straw or stubble-fueled kira, because straw and stubble leave behind little or no coals, but it's forbidden to leave food on a kira that's fueled by wood or by these gefes situations, the pulp, because these leave behind coals. So the purpose of shoveling the coals or covering them with ash is to demonstrate that one is not interested in cooking the food, but merely in keeping it warm. So again, the machlokas between Rashi and the Rishonim is going to be whether or not, in order to be matashia, do we have to guarantee that the heat process is on its way down, it's cooling off, and therefore there won't be any cooking? Or is that not a concern of ours? Let's go through Rashi. Rashi says that this whole effort and this whole enterprise of what we call grufa or ktuma is in order to reverse the heating process and make it impossible for cooking to take place. The other Rishonim say no, the cooking will take place even after he makes it into a goruf or a katum. because of the very intense heat that was trapped inside this kira. And yet, garaf hakotav is mutter, even though the heating process is continuing, and even though the bishul process is continuing, because we're no longer afraid of chitui gechola. You know, as Rashi understands that the isur shehiyah is a result of bishul. If the bishul is continuing, that we're not going to allow you to do. If you can arrest the process of bishul through either garaf or a katum, then Rashi is going to permit it. The other Rishonim is saying, no, forget about whether it's bishul or not bishul. That's not the issue. The issue is whether he'll do chitui b'gechol. Alright. Now, we have Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai omrim chamin avalotavshil. Chamin means hot water that was completely cooked. Then you're allowed to leave it on a kira, on this stove, after garuf or katum. So whatever you learned about garuf or katum to be matir shehiyah, according to Beit Shammai, that's only as far as hot boiling liquids are concerned. I'm a low tavshil. In other words, even if you have a pot of food and it's basically been cooked, Beit Shammai has a principle called mitztamek v'yofalo, which means that even after it's fully cooked, it would still continue the cooking process, and we're not going to allow you to keep such a pot, even though it contains completely cooked. Solid food on an open fire. Ubeisil omrim chamin vitavshil. It matters not whether you're leaving on this kira hot water that's already been cooked or solid food that's already been cooked. In both cases, shehiyah is mutter because he made it into a garuf or a katum. So that Beis Hillel is basically arguing if the whole reason for this Isur of Shehiyah is because of Shemiyachate. Once you make it into a garuf or katum, there's no longer Shemiyachate. And it matters not whether you're dealing with liquids or solids. In both cases, garuf or katum accomplishes your goal, and it permits you to leave it on an open fire. Beis Shammai, on the other hand, say no, we're only going to allow this in the case of a liquid. Now, why is that so? And we said before that according to Beit Shammai, a solid food, even when it's cooked, it is continuously cooking and it enhances the cooking. I'm thinking out loud of a cholent. I don't know if this is if everybody would agree with me on this, but a cholent, the longer you keep it cooking, the better it tastes. Lomazogin. I mean, I don't know if you agree with me, but theoretically, that's what we could say. So therefore, we're always afraid that you might start poking and stirring the coals, even on a foodstuff that's already been cooked. Masha Enken, in the case of a very hot liquid that's boiling hot, here, once it reaches the state of boiling, there's no longer a continuous process of bishul. It reaches the point in which it's already cooked and it can't be cooked anymore. That's only true for liquids. Okay, all this is as far as shehiyah is concerned. Now we have a discussion about what's called chazara. Beit Shammai omrim notlim avalo machzirim. Even in the case of liquids, which Beit Shammai allow you to leave on an open fire if they're fully cooked before Shabbos, that's only in the case of taking it, allowing you to leave it on so that you can take it off. But we're not going to allow you to put it back onto the kira once you took it off. And the reason for that is, Rashi explains, something called mechze kimavashel. When you put something back on a kira, not everyone will realize that what's inside the pot that you're putting inside the oven is something that's totally cooked. and they may confuse it with something that's not totally cooked, and they're watching you put it onto the oven. And you can't do that, because it's mechzeke mevashel. It looks like bishel. I'll read to you. He says, chazarosa malakira nireis kilu nosei nosei malaish levashlam. It looks to the spectator as if you're putting it back into the oven or on top of the oven for the express purpose of cooking. Beis Hillel omrim af machzirin. Beis Hillel says that just like we have this patent, you know, this possibility of what we call grufa and ktuma, in order to allow shehiyah, that will allow chazara as well. And it doesn't look like mevashel, because why would you cook something in a garuf or a katum? Again, a garuf or katum means either that you swept out the coals, or you put ashes on top of the coals to cool them off. Why would you do such a thing if you're still involved in cooking? Obviously, this is not a maisa that looks like a maisa bishul, and therefore Beis Hillel permit it. So just to summarize, we have, according to Beis Hillel, a heter called Garafakatum, and that heter applies both to the case of solids as well as the case of liquids, and both in the case of Shehiyah and even in the case of Chazara. Now we switch over to Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai claim that Garafakatum is only going to help you for liquids. It's not going to help you do Shehiyah for solids. And moreover, in the case of Chazara, even in liquids, Beis Shammai have an absolute gzera, all-encompassing. We do not put liquids onto an oven. I don't care if they've already been heated, I don't care if they're hot. And certainly not solids onto an open fire on Shabbos. It's mechzei kimavash. Okay, now we get to the main sugya, and that's the boilahu, the Gemara's suffix. Okay. Iboilahu. Hi. What we learned in the Reish of the Mishnah, and that was the case of Gefes and Eitzim, where we said that you're not allowed to leave a pot on an open fire if it's being fueled by substances which will create Gecholim, will create these coals. Lo yachser hu? Maybe what it means when it says lo yiten, right? So we go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah at the end of the second line, the beginning of the third line, says lo yiten. And the Gemara now is suggesting a particular interpretation of lo yiten, and we're going to switch it around in a second. In the second possibility, but the first possibility says that lo yiten means lo yachzir. Lo yachzir hu. What it means is that if you have a situation of a kira that's being fueled by gefes or eitzim, then when it says lo yiten, it means lo yachzir. If you took off this pot from the kira on Shabbos, you're not allowed to put it back on Shabbos unless you have what's called a garuf or a katum. If you don't have a garuf or a katum, you haven't put the ashes on top of the coals, you haven't swept off the coals, then it looks like bishul, and that's going to be prohibited. Avalishos, but if you want to leave this kedera, this pot, on the open fire on Erev Shabbos, and it'll cook on Shabbos itself, mashim, you're allowed to leave it on the open fire, afal pisha eno garuf vi eno katum. So you have an open fire, you have food inside a pot on an open fire, and you're allowed to leave it there going into Shabbos. Even though you've done nothing to the kira, you have not sprinkled any ashes, and it's not a gur if you did not shovel out the coals. You can leave it on open fire. Umani, and who's the author of our Mishnah according to this tzad, Chananya hi? The son you have a Bryce, Chananya Omer, Kol Shu Kemichel Ben Josoi, as long as the food is partially cooked. Now, we don't know exactly what that means by partially cooked. According to one view, according to one opinion, I see Mayor is here. Good to see you, Mayor. According to one opinion, we're talking about Shlish Bishulo, that these robbers will eat food that's only been cooked one-third of its bishul. That's the shita of Rashi. And then we have the shita of the Rambam. The Rambam holds that that Michael Bejasoy is half of the bishul. But in any event, whichever Rishon you're going with, Chananya holds that there's a heter of Shehiya in a case of food that was already cooked barest minimum, kemaych ben josoy, before Shabbos, mutul shosal gabi kiraf al pi she'eno garuv v'eno kotu. So you're leaving on an open fire, and we're not afraid of shemi yechata. And there are two ways you can interpret this. First of all, you could say we're not afraid of shemi yechata because it's already cooked, at least basic. So he's not in such a rush to cook it further. Or, and I like this shot much better, we're not afraid of Shemi Echad, because even in the worst case scenario, if he would come to Chitui, he would not be violating an Isur Bishul, because we have a principle called Ein Bishul, Achar Bishul. So I'm just going to read to you this note. He starts by quoting the Sefer Yireim, one of the Bali Atosu, says, Atam Shein Choshim Shemi Echad, Lefi Shekeman Shein Isbashel Kvar Shlish Bishulo, V'uroy lehei ochel shuvein makpid kolkach v'ein ligzarbo. We don't have to worry that he's going to poke the flames. It's already edible. Then he quotes the Rosh. Shelo yovo lachtos l'fi shahol ukra nisbash k'maych ben shesoy gam b'lichitu yisbashel ad she yegiyaz man achila. Okay, he doesn't mention my svar right now, but that's what I believe is the main svar over here. So again, Rabosai, if our Mishnah reflects the sheet of Chananya, who is Matir Shehi on an open fire if it reached Kemaycha Ben Josoy before Shabbos, then we're going to reinterpret our Mishnah when it says Lo Yitain, that unless you make it into a Grufa Ketuma and it's no longer an open flame, we're going to prohibit it. That's referring to lo yitain, which means lo yachzir, which means to replace it back on an open fire. That's osur. But in a case of shehiya, where he's leaving it on the fire on Erev Shabbos, Chananya says, if it reached kemaychu ben josoy on Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to leave it on open flame, and there's no need for garuf or katum. That's possibility number one. Odilma, possibility number two, lishos tanan, that when it says in the Mishnah lo yitain, it means don't put it on your open fire on Erev Shabbos. So it's not referring to the food stuff, but rather to, you know, to the, well, I shouldn't say that, but it means you're not allowed to put the food on the open fire on Erev Shabbos, because it's an Eino Garif Yeino Katum. The E Garif Katum, however, if you do Grifa Ketima, then we're allowing you to leave it on an open fire. The E Lo, but if it's an Eino Garif and an Eino Katum, then it's Asur. The Kolshkein, and how much more so according to this interpretation, if he's coming to bring it back on, if he wants to put it back on the fire, for sure there's no heter of chazara unless it's a garuf katum. And that's with the Kal V'Chomer. If, in the case of Shehiya, where you put it on the fire on Erev Shabbos, we're not going to allow you to do that unless it's a garuf katum. How much more so in the case of chazara, for sure on Shabbos itself, we're not going to allow you to put it back into the oven, unless it's a gara for katum. If this be the case, according to the second possibility, our Mishnah does not reflect the shita of Chananya, but rather the shita of the Chachamim who rejected Chananya. Now, let me just see what he says here. In the name of Tosfos, he says, "V'kosha she'afim nomar shelishos tnan." He says, I don't understand. Even if we say lo yite means lo yishe, it could still shtim with Chananya. Why not say that the Mishnah of lo yite is referring to Shehiyah? But we're talking about an Eino Garuf and an Eino Kartum. Tirutz Ramban, Sheish Lomer Shesovra Gemara Shetavshil Shemevushal Pochos Mishir Benjosoi, Eino Nikre Tavshil Klal. So there was a linguistic or terminological proof from the term used by this Mishnah that was certainly talking about food that reached the stage of Kemaychel Benjosoi, and that becomes crystal clear from the use of the word tavshil. Tavshil means it's mevushal. And mevushal means at least the minimum bishul, which is kemaychel ben josoi. Toshma. So the Gemara wants to prove from our Mishnah that we're talking about lishos tnan, which means the second possibility. And the Mishnah will only allow Shehiyah if and when it's a garuf or a katum. Midik tani trei bavi v'masnisim. If we analyze our Mishnah, and our Mishnah has two different parts to it, a resha and a sefer. Let's go through the two different parts. First we'll go through the resha. Beit Shammai omrim chamin avalotavshil. Ubeisil omrim chamin vitavshil. And in the Sefer, it says, Beit Shammai omrim notlin, aval lo machzirin. Ubeisil omrim af machzirin. So we have two parts to the Mishnah. We have a Reish and a Sefer. Both record a machlokes shin beisil Beit Shammai, whereas the Reish records a machlokes about whether or not we can extend the heter even to Tavshil or only limit it to Chamin. The second part of the Mishnah, the Sefer, records a machlokes about whether or not we're allowed to put it back on, into the Kira on Shabbos. He says the following, I amrit bishlema. I can understand if the Reisha means, when it says lo yiten, it means lishos tnan, that we're not allowed to leave it on the fire before Shabbos, is then hachik tani. Here's how we can learn the Mishnah. In the Reisha, when we're talking about chamin or tavshil, is kira sheisikua bekash ubegavava. And these are substances that we said have no coals to them, like straw. Is mashin aleha tavshil. You're allowed to leave a pot cooking on Erev Shabbos with these fuels. Because we're not afraid of Shem Yechata, because these are easily very flammable. They go, but begefes ubi etzim lo yishe. But in the case of gefes v etzim, again, it doesn't say lo yishe in Amish. It says lo yitain. But we're going now according to that side that lo yitain means lo yishe. Ashi yigrof o ashi yitain efer. And then the Mishnah says, and what will we allow you to leave on this open fire? My Mashiach, Beit Shammai Omrim Chamin Alo Tavshil, Beit Shammai Omrim Chamin V'Tavshil. Now the Mishnah, the Sefer, adds the following. V'chi hechi de pligi belishos is pligi nami belahachzir. In other words, we go back to the same machlokas. They're going to argue both about Shehiyah and about Chazor. Shebichami Omrim Notlin Avalo Machzirin. Beisil Omrim Af Machzirin. Fine. That everything fits into place if Lo Yitain means Lo Yishe. Ela I Amrit. If we're going to interpret Lo Yitain in the Reisha, it means La Hachzir Tnan. That he's not allowed to put it back onto the Kira, but Shehiyah, and it's something that reached Kimaychem and Shesai, is allowed, is permitted, even if it's an Eino Garf, Eino Katum, like Hananya, is Hachik Tani. Let's go through this Mishnah and interpret it piece by piece. Let's start with the Reisha. Kira, Shisi, Kua, Bekash, Ubegavava, Machzirin, Alea, Tavshil. Right now we're assuming that Adshiyite means Adshiyachzir, because now we're going according to the tzad that says what? That says Lahachzir Tnan is Kira Sheisikua Bekashu Begovava Machzirin Olea Tavshil. But Begeves Uveitzim Lo Yachzir Adshiyichro Adshiyigrov. Oh, Ad Sheyitain Efer is Ma Umay Machzirim. Bechame Omrim Chamin Avalotavshil. Besil Omrim Chamin Vitavshil. So we're talking about Chazara now. So what are we going to do with the Sefer? The Sefer says Bechame Omrim Notlin Avalomachzir. Besil Omrim Af Machzirin. Hasu Lamali. Your mom is repeating what you just said, because the whole Mishnah was talking about Lahachzir. And the Mishnah mentioned the machlokas between Basil and Beit Shammai, and that machlokas is whether or not you could be machzir in a case of a garaf katum. And the Mishnah says, what are they arguing about? Is chamin v'tavshil according to Basil, and only chamin according to Beis Shammai? So what's this extra piece in the Mishnah? Beis Shammai omrim notlin avalo machzirin, Basil omrim af machzirin. Is Yomamish repeating the same thing that we just learned? So at this point, the Gemara seems to conclude that lahashos tnan. And now the Gemara is going to reject it on the top of Daf Lamed Zayin Omer Aleph. Liolam Eimelachal tell you lahachzir tnan. That everybody would agree that Shehiyah is mutter like Hananya, even in an Eino Garuf Yeino Katu. V'chisurei mechzer v'chiktani, but here's how you have to read it. If you're holding lahachzir tnan, so there shouldn't be that extra piece at the end of the Mishnah. Is Kira Shisi Kua Bekash Ubegvava. And these are very flammable substances that go up immediately in smoke, and we're not afraid of Shem Yechata, they don't make a cholim. Is Machzirin Olea Tavshil. Which means in this case you can even do Chazara. But the Gefes Ubi Eitzim, now we're talking about things, you know, fuel that makes coal, and there's a problem of Chitui, Lo Yachzir. Oh, Lo Yachzir. Achigrof Shiiten Esa Efer. Avolishos Mashin, Avol Pichenu Gorfenu Kotu. Again, we're reflecting now the Shita of Hananya. Umay Mashim. But how far are we going to go according to Hananya with a heter Shehiyah in a case of a garaf katum? Is Beit Shammai Omrim Chamin Avalo Tavshil, Beisil Omrim Chamin V'Tavshil. So Beit Shammai will only allow you to leave hot water on an open fire on Erev Shabbos. No, I'm sorry. We're talking about a garaf katum. Right, so Beit Shammai would say that garaf katum is meaningful for liquids, for water. And Basil would say no. Garaf katum is meaningful even for solids, for tavshil. Avolishos mashin, afal pishen, a garaf katum, that if we accept the sheet of Hananya, we can only be makel as far as Chamin. Amalot Tavshil. Now we're talking about an Enogarf and an Enokot. Right, because we're going to allow Chazor and a Garf and Kotum. But in an Enogarf and a Kotum, then we're going to allow Shehiya. But what kind of Shehiya are we going to allow? Is that going to be a Machlok Shem Beit Shammai Veisil? Beit Shammai Omrim Chamin Avolo Tavshil Ubeisil Omrim Chamin Vitavshil. So again, we're talking about an Enogarf Yenokotum. And you're leaving it on Erev Shabbos, on an open fire, and Beis Hillel allows it, whether it's solid or liquid. We said that you're not allowed to put it back on the stove until you do Garf HaKotum, but if you do Garf HaKotum, it's mutter. Is Lav Diri Akolhi. That's itself a gigantic machlokas. Well, machlokas Beit Shammai Silel, Beit Shammai Omrim Notlin. You're allowed to remove the chamin or the tavshil from the kira grufa, the lomach zirin, but you can't put it back even onto a grufa of a katum. Beit Shammai Omrim af machzirin osan. And Beit Shammai will allow even chazara. So in other words, when we said that you're not allowed to be chozer on an open fire, and the implication is that lo yachzir ad sheyigrof, meaning with garof akotum it's mutter, that's really a machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai will not allow you to be machzir on Shabbos, even to a grufa ketuma. Because again, as we said, it looks like Mexican Mavasha, they still say Af Machzirin. That you're allowed to put it back onto the fire on Shabbos if it's a Garof HaKotum. So the Gemara has now basically defended the possibility that Lahachzir Tanan, that Shehi would be Mutter on an Eino Garf Yeno Kotum, and the Mishnah reflects the sheet of Hananya, even if you hold Lahachzir Tanan. That's the Gemara's point. Okay, then, this is where we'll stop for today. And